Good evening, everyone. We'll speak today about Parashat Chaye Sara that comes, and some other things as usual. The first mother of the Jewish nation and the first father, Abraham and Sarah, until age 90 and 99, they can have kids. Not like today when you don't have kids 1 or 2 years after the marriage. Everyone is already reading Tehillim, running to the rabbis, to the Kabbalists. Everyone is nervous, don't sleep at night. What's happening? My daughter is married already 2 years and she doesn't have kids. Everyone is nervous. Avraham Avinu, since age 25 until 100, since they got married, no kids. When you gain wealth, the more wealth you have, the more pain you have that you don't have children. If a person has no money, completely broke, always borrowing, own a credit card, doesn't pay the rent, his life is such a hard life, he still wants kids. Obviously it's a normal reaction, but at least he say, you know what life would I give to my kids? Even to put them in a normal yeshiva, I couldn't even afford another bedroom. Why, they're sleeping in the middle of a living room? So he's thinking to himself, he has a little bit relief. What's the relief? The relief is, you know, at least he won't have to suffer by me. But when a person has hundreds of millions, mansion, house here, house there, servants, and he cannot have one kid even, all the wealth loses good taste. It's very difficult to enjoy from it, because then you want to give it to someone. The Gemara says like this, Amar Rabbi Yuden Berabbi Simon, בשלושה מקומות אין אומות העולם יכולים להונות את ישראל. Three things, the goyim, the nation, the Gentiles, they cannot deceive the nation of Israel. They cannot deceive the nation of Israel. Three places. What are the three places? They cannot say to them, you stole from us something. They don't have a claim against us. When today you see the whole world is claiming that Israel belongs to the Palestinians, and when they all know that there was no such nation, Palestinians, everybody knows that. But they still play along with the scam. They pretend that they, you know, wow, it's the poor Palestinians, all this nonsense. We spoke about it, there's no point of getting into it, but the idea is, they claim Haifa is there, belongs to them, and Yafo, and Tel Aviv, and everything you want. But the Gemara say three things the Jewish nation can come with a receipt. They have a receipt. What's the receipt? The receipt is for which three places? One is Me'arat HaMachpelah, the cave where the fathers and mothers are buried in Hebron. Why? Avraham Avinu bought it with 400 shekel kesef. It's like $400,000 today. You come, you buy the property, it's yours, 100%. Doesn't matter which country, if a Japanese come to America and they buy a building, they tell him, no, we don't care, you're not American. It doesn't work that way. He owns the building, he has rights. Half of this country owned by Arabs and Chinese anyway. The Chinese invasion, they call it now. Did you know that or no? All the things that the Jews build in America in the next 20 years will all, chas v'shalom, go to the garbage. All the synagogues, all the communities, everything. Why? In Queens, it's already happening. Hundreds of Chinese coming and buying the property with cash. They pay cash. They come, how much the house worth? 700. will pay, they bring a suitcase, they buy the whole thing, 800, get out. The Jew become greedy, somebody offers 100,000 extra, he sells, one Jew left, Chinese moved in. What happened when five Chinese move in into the neighborhood? It become Chinatown. How long it will take until it become Chinatown, only Hashem knows. But that's what happened in Lower East Side. He came all the way to, he left one block to the Jews, one block, East Broadway, over there between Grand, I think, and Clinton. One block left Jews, the rest all Chinese, but it was all Jewish area, the land, sea, Allen Street, everything. So it all became Chinatown, gone. Now they are on Queens, and soon Brooklyn. Brooklyn. Now you may come and say, well, we are the Syrian community here. We're not going to let them in. It doesn't work that way, my friend. If your house worth 2 million and Mr. Lee come with 2.4, you say, what's the problem? Let me make 400. I'll buy a house two blocks away. But the real estate keep coming higher and higher, and they come and they pay cash and they buy it. And that's what's happened. In Eretz Israel, Hashem already knew that this danger exists. So he made a law that the Jews are not allowed to sell property to any other nation. Not allowed to sell, nothing. Everything has to belong to Jews because Hashem gave us the land. But what happened? Jews do sell. Ramle became half Arabs. Lud became half Arabs. Yafo was always half Arabs. So many, many cities in Israel becoming Arab cities. What would happen? One city Jewish, one city Arab, one city Jewish, one city Arab. It cuts the Jews from here, from there. It breaks you apart. It's like pieces from the puzzle are missing. Plus, it becomes dangerous. You cannot go there. It's very dangerous. Now they had a demonstration in Ramle, one block from where I spoke last time when I was in Israel, in a shul. The lecture I had in Israel in Ramle. When I got there, I almost got hit by a car. I look, I see three Arab young boys stop the car when we were crossing the street. So, yeah, it's all Arabs here, all Ramle, all this area. This is what's happening. The invasions always took place. It's always like this. One brings his brother and he brings his friend. That's how the Jews occupied Lower East Side in first place. When they came here from Europe over 100 years ago, how did the Jews end it by seaport? From all the places in the world, why? The boat arrived to seaport. The Jew Mendel came out of the boat. He only speaks Yiddish. He walks few blocks. He sees for sale. He said, yeah, good, very good. Comes inside, how much? Okay, they started to do business. They started to buy the property. They bought another one, and he bought his cousin, he bought his brother. All of a sudden, it became a Jewish ghetto. The entire area. Then there was no room. So they crossed the bridge to Williamsburg. And over there it became all Jewish. And then there was no room, so they crossed the bridge to the other side of Brooklyn, which is Borough Park and all this area. They wanted to stay close. It's not only by Jews, it's by all the nations like this. Arabic, same thing. One, two Arabs move in, everybody moves in. This is how it goes. Three places belongs to us without any argument. One, Me'arat HaMachpelah, Avraham Avinu bought it for full price from Ephron HaChiti. As we read in Genesis 23, the Bet HaMikdash, the Moriah Mountain, when they built their mosque with the chutzpah inside our Bet HaMikdash on a stolen property, Shenivna al Har HaMoriah, who bought this mountain? Technically, Yaakov Avinu had a dream there that the angels go up and down the ladder. That's the gate of heaven. That's what the Torah says. Ze Shara Shamayim. It's written verse in the Torah. Not belief. Ze Shara Shamayim. And then when Avraham Avinu did the Akedah, he was also there. Two of the major, most major events happened right there. But it does justify that the place belongs to the Jews? No, just because one holy rabbi had a dream in some property and they told him, you know, this is the gate to heaven, it still doesn't mean he owned it, right? So they can come to an international court and say, very nice, Yaakov, your father had a dream there, very nice, we appreciate him very much. And it's very nice that Ibrahim took Yitzhak to Akedah over there, but who said that it belongs to them, right? But here comes the Torah and teach us, in the end of book Samuel B, Shmuel Bet, what does it say? David HaMelech bought this property from Arvena Ayevusi. There was one goy, there were seven nations in Israel. One of them was Yevusi. So the Arvena, David HaMelech bought the property from him. And the third property is? Huh? Kever Yosef. Kever Yosef, the grave of Yosef in Nablus, in Shechem, that was bought by Yaakov Avinu from Hamor, the father of Shechem. Why the name of the city is Shechem? Because Shechem was the goy that was the king there. His father was Hamor. Shechem, the story with Dinah. Until today they call it Shechem. I don't know how in English they call it Nablus. Maybe it's an Arabic word, I don't know, but it's Shechem. In the Bible, it's Shechem. So, three places were bought by the Jewish fathers, officially. So it cannot belong to them. Very interesting that all three places were stolen from us. All three places. The mosque inside our property. The grave of Yosef, you saw what I did over there. They took it over, they burn it, they do whatever they want. And the third place, besides Beit HaMikdash and the grave of Yosef, is Me'arat HaMachpelah, when Jews they have mamash a life risk to come to even pray there. They're inside, they're controlling the place. It's amazing. What do you see? No wonder they call themselves Hamas. What's the word Hamas means in Hebrew? Stealers, thieves. That's what it means in Hebrew, Hamas. No wonder. So, the Gemara says like this, Ve'avraham zaken baba yamim, shanu abotenu. Chazal says, Eshet chayil mi'imtza. Eshet Chayil, mi imtza. Where does it come from, this verse, Eshet Chayil, mi imtza? Huh? Kiddush. Sure, Kiddush. Aval who wrote it before the Kiddush? That they took it from there and put it in a Kiddush. Huh? Shlomo. Which book? Mishle. Proverbs 31. Mishle 31, verse 10. Eshet Chayil mi imtza? Who is the Eshet Chayil that he's talking about? Sarah. Sarah imenu. Sarah. As long as Sarah was alive, Abraham was young. You didn't see any old signs in him. Still stay young. Once she passed away, when she was 127 years old, when she passed away, how old was Avram? 137. How many more years he lived? 48 years, until 175. So the 48 years of his life, he started to get old. Until then, he looked young. 100%. The Gemara say, Mashal lechovel, Chazal say, the Mashal lechovel, Chovel, it's a captain of a boat. Sapan, it comes from Sfina. Gibor shaita lo Sfina, a hero that owned a boat. A captain of a boat. Hu kavash et hamayim ve'et haruchot. He occupied the water, he goes to all directions. He's the master of the ocean. Uvaru alav piratin. Pirates. Where the word pirates come from? From Hebrew, pirat, piratim. What's pirat means? Thieves that works in the ocean. If they work in a field, on the land, they call them robbers. Shodedim. If they walk in the water, they give them a name. Piratim. Amad ve'arag et kulam. He killed all of them. All these robbers. He killed them all. La'achar zman higia lepetach ha'liman. Lehman Brothers. What's Lehman? Lehman is a port. Namal, port. Uva alav ruach kasha. He arrived to the port. And the wind started. Veshavra et sfinato. And broke his boat. Itchil mevakesh rachamim ibnei adam. He started to ask for mercy from people. Help me! Save me! Please! They told him, yesterday you occupy the ocean, you're the master of the ocean and killing all the pirates. Now you're asking people to save you? So he told them, as long as my boat were in my possession, I was the king of the world. No one is messing with me. I go with my boat and I do whatever I want. Now when my boat disappeared, I'm worthless. I lost my status. Same thing Avraham Avinu. Who was his boat? Sarah Imenu. Foundation of the house is the wife. In a Gemara, you don't find the word wife. You don't have the word wife. You find that they call the wife Beto, his house. How's your house doing? If you come to a person today and say, how is your house doing? I think we're going to start renovation next week. But in the time in the Gemara, they knew. A house means the wife. How is the house? Meaning, oh, my wife is good, Baruch Hashem. Everything under control. Kach Avraham Avinu, kshebahu alav piratim, when the robbers came to Avraham Avinu to attack him, who were the robbers? The four kings that captured Lot. Amad ve'arag et kulam. He stood and killed all of them. Amru lo, they told him, who told him? Bnei chet. Negoim. That he used to negotiate with them to buy a grave for Sarah. They told him, yesterday you're the master of the world. Sheneemar, Baruch Avram le'el elyon kone shamayim va'aretz. Bless Abraham to the upper God. Kone shamayim va'aretz, the owner of heaven and earth, meaning you are my representative in the world. And this is what the goyim say to him: Nasi Elokim ata betochenu. You are the president of God among us. Even the goyim gave him respect. Today, nobody gives respects anymore to the rabbis, unfortunately. Why is it? How did the Jewish nation lost respect to their own rabbis? How did it happen such thing? What are the reasons? Reason number one, it's a part of the prophecy that before Mashiach would come, Ir'echet imasu chokhmat sofrim tisrach. The wisdom of the scholars, of the Torah scholars, the wisdom is going to be stink in the opinion of the public. It's going to be mukzeh. I'm not interested to even hear. That's one sign that you know Mashiach is on the way. And one more thing, it says that Pnei Ador ke Pnei HaKelev, the face of the generation will be like the face of the dog. Why face of the dog? Today, sometimes it's an insult to the dog. Some dogs are better than the people that they are compared to. But the point is, why from all the animals they didn't say Pnei Ador ke Pnei HaChamor? The face of the generation, like the face of a donkey. Face of a generation, like the face of the cat. Face of the generation, like the face of the goat. Why from 2 million animals, 2 million different species, they chose the dog? Pnei ador ki pnei kelev. There is a secret here. Everything by Chazal was precisely calculated. Now one word is coincidence. Why dog? There are two things in the dog. Dog is an animal that you just walk nearby him. It's by the fence, right? It's on the other side of the fence. You don't do anything. Just walk. Ready to murder you. What did I do? didn't even attack you, didn't hit you, didn't do anything. Just walk by him, he wants to murder you for no reason. That's one thing. Second, there is another problem with the dog. If you have a dog, you know what I'm talking about. If a person takes his dog to the park and he plays with him, and then he has a stick and he gives him a smack to the dog, what does the dog do? He attacks the stick. He doesn't attack the person. He jumps on the stick. If you pick up your head, you jump, he tries to bite the stick. You go like this. His goal is to bite the stick. Even if you throw the stick far away, the fool turns around and he begins to run and bite and bark at the stick. He doesn't have the intelligence to understand the stick is only a messenger in the hand of the master. And that's what happened to this generation before Mashiach came. Everyone has an enemy. Look what he did to me. Look, I'm going to get revenge. I'm going to do this. Forget about this. They're all, Hashem is running the show like a puppet show. Move up, down, sit, be quiet. Hashem runs the world. What, you come against the stick? People forgot already who runs the show. Everybody, include the rabbis. The rabbis also get carried away sometimes. Everyone say, what should we do to stop the terrorism? We have to be strict. We have to close the Arab territories. We have to make laws. It's true, we have to do all this. We have to do Ishtadlut. What can we do? We're not righteous enough. We have to do it the hard way. But almost nobody is like, we forget. We keep forgetting the same thing. That we have to focus on how do we make peace with Hashem. Then all the other problems we have automatically disappeared. Disappeared automatically. This part we don't put enough attention to. So they said to Avraham Avinu, they said to him, the Bnei Chet, yesterday you the master of the world, Baruch Avraham L'El Elyon, Kone Shamayim Va'aretz, Ve'achshav Ata Omer Ger V'Toshav Anochi Imachem, I'm a resident among you. What, you became an ordinary person? Amar Lahem, Ma Eseh Shemeta Ishti. What can I do? My wife passed away and without her I am not worth enough. I'm worthless. Shenemar ve'kvera meti. Miyad achare ze, right after that he said, ve'avram zaken, nizreka bo zikna. In life, many, many times you see that a husband, once his wife passed away, a month later he also goes. It was like a shark. Like a lion, jogging. As soon as she went, his desire to live went down. Sometimes the other way around also. The husband goes away, and she lost their desire to live, and she doesn't want, that's it. You can see that naturally, psychologically, the person becomes old right away. And sometimes it's the other way around. As soon as he passed away, she comes back to her childhood days. Finally, Baruch Sheptaranu. Depends. So why people don't disrespect the rabbi? One reason, I told you, it's a part of the prophecy. That's what's going to happen before Mashiach comes. Second, the rabbis today are not in the level of the rabbis used to be 100, 200, 500, and 1,000 years ago, obviously. You see from the books. Third, back in the days, the kofrim, the infidels, the anti-religion, atheist people, they didn't have the tool, what we call today media, in their hands. So if you have one kofir over here, one kofir over there, how much damage they can do. Each kofir can focus about two or three people. It's a lot of energy. Today the kofir has a keyboard. 5 million people read his nonsense. And who gets the headache right after that? Standing in front of you. Rabbi, I heard that. What do you think about that? No, go and waste 2 hours to explain to him again now, to convince him that... It's amazing. Sometimes I say to him, listen, let's not waste time. Just watch my film, Torah and Science. I did. How long ago? A year ago. So how do you ask me about this kofir? All these things, it's, I already answered in my film. Oh, I guess I have to watch it again. People have short memory. People have short memory. How short the memory of a person can get? Who knows? What's the shortest period of time that a person can forget things? The minimum. Huh?
5 years.
A second.
The Gemara say, toch kedei dibur. As you speak about it, before you finish the sentence, you can forget what you just said. I'm sure it happens to you every day. But I give you a good joke. One guy came to the doctor. He said, doctor, you know, I have pain. I have this, I have that. So the doctor say, you know, when is the last time you have pain? So he asked him, what pain? He forgot already. One guy came to the doctor. He said, doctor, you know, I have a problem. Every place in my body that I touch, it hurts. Here, here, in the leg, in the head, everywhere I touch. The doctor say, you fool, you broke your finger. Tov. How big is the space that Abraham needed for Me'arat HaMachpelah? Did you ever see it in Hebron, a huge building like this, Me'arat HaMachpelah? The Gemara says, Bishat Kvurato Shel Talmid Chacham, somebody, a big giant Chacham, how many people need to come to give him respect? How many? 60 ribo. 600,000 people. How many people in our days had the merit to have 600,000 people in their funeral? Only one. Chacham Ovadia Yosef. Not that the other Chachamim were not as big as him. Rav Eliashiv was a giant. Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul was a giant. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, many other big Chachamim, you know, that passed away in the last few years. But what was the merit of Rav Ovadia that had 1 million people? Who knows why? It's a message from Shamayim. He was the one that got more abuse from the media and from the secular people and from many religious people more than anyone. They constantly fought him. On his psakim, some Ashkenazim were fighting against him, some Hasidim, some Chilonim, some the government non-stop, on the television they used to make fun at him, they used to make puppet shows against him, every article was always negative against him, non-stop fighting against him. In the end, everyone bowed down to him. Even the lefties were silent when he passed away. Even the lefties did not say one bad word. When he used to curse them for 40, 50 years, call them monkeys, call them what they deserve to be called. But in the end, they all were standing still. Why? Hashem wanted to show the whole world someone that always stuck to the truth, wasn't afraid to get bashed and criticized. He constantly continued with his truth, spreading the Torah, doesn't matter what. That's one reason. Second reason was that he went down to the nation. Even though he was such a big chacham, such a super genius, he used to give shiurim to totally ignorant people. Ignorant balebatim. He used to come on Shabbat. He tells them story about the fox and the goat. Mamash, like you teach kindergarten. Such a big chacham, speaking to the balebatim, giving them all kinds of meshalim, giving them respect. Always his house open for the public all these years. Hashem see everything. Everything is calculated. And in the end, sof davar hakol nishma. Everybody see the truth in the end. So the Gemara says, 600,000 people, a great scholar deserve to have in his funeral. Why? Where did they get the number 600,000? Huh? From Matan Torah, 600,000. What is the difference when you buy a property? Avraham comes to buy a property. When you buy a property from a Jew or you buy a property from a goy? What is the difference? Today there's no difference because you do it by the city. But back in the days, they used to buy property. How do you buy a property if you have an animal? How do you buy a donkey? If you buy a book, let's say you come to the store, you buy a book. So the owner of the store puts the book on the counter. It says $10. You take $10, you put on the counter. The sale took place already or no?
No.
The owner of the store picked up your $10. Did the sale go through or no? Huh? It's not yet. He puts it in his register. Did the sale go through?
No.
No. When does the sale go through? Only when you pick it up. Now it's yours. What happened if you pick it up before you gave him money? You picked it up. He gave it to you? You picked it up. No, before. I didn't say you go without giving him. Soon you're going to take the money out. Now you picked it up. And now you're looking for money. And Arab terrorist just blew himself out. And the fire fell on a book and burned it. So you argue with the seller now. It's your loss. He said, no, it's your loss. You picked it up already. He said, well, what? But it's still in your store. He said, why do I care? You already got it. I said, but I didn't give you money yet. They're arguing. What's the law?
He didn't pay for it, no?
The money doesn't buy anything. Meshicha buys. You picked it up, it's yours. You owe me $10. Doesn't matter. You pay tomorrow. Ma, it's the first time in history that people pay the next day. It's very common today. Call me next week. Motzei Shabbos, I bring you the cash. Don't worry. How many times I heard it in my life? Somehow it's never work almost. You already know already. Okay, yeah, yeah, Motzei Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos, maybe after Mashiach would come. Ay, ay, ay. So the answer is, this is metal telling, things that you can pick up. How are you going to pick up the donkey? It's 1 ton. So how do you buy the donkey? When officially the donkey become yours? When you give money for it? The answer is when you grab him and make him walk one or two steps forward. As soon as he follow you, it's yours. Or if you sit on top of him and then he walks, then it's a sign that you did kinyan. Why? There's big nafkamina. In other words, if you gave him money, here, $500 for your donkey, and the tree just fell. Here's the money, but you didn't make the donkey walk. The tree fell and killed him, poor donkey. Who lost the $500? He lost it, because he didn't do kinyan yet. But how do you buy a house, according to the Torah? How do you buy a house? You bought a house, you made shtar, you gave money, witnesses sign, everything is fine. He gave you the key. Once you got the key, you have access to the house is yours. Also, you have to make a change in a house that shows ownership, such as bringing furniture in, knocking the fence down, changing the lock. Something that shows ownership. Other than that, you're not the owner yet. If you did something that made a change of ownership, automatically it becomes your house. So there are rules. Gemara teach. When it officially becomes your house. What's the difference between Jews and non-Jews? The Rabbi Gaon, 1,000 years ago, he writes like this. There's a difference between buying or selling a property between a Jew to a goy. There's a difference. Between a Jew to a Jew, Jew buys from a Jew and sells to a Jew in 3 different ways. With money, with shtar, an agreement, and with chazakah. What does it mean, chazakah? Chazakah means certainty, or in this case means possession. I'll give you an example. There is a house that the owner left it, abandoned it. He went to Israel. One junkie moved in. is now inside. He brought all his friends. They're living there now. The owner did not come from Israel. Few years later, he comes up. He see already, Baruch Hashem, it became a club. Do they own it? Not yet. Why? Because he didn't have a chance to know that they moved in. However, if he lives in town and he sees someone moved into his house and he does not protest for 3 years, 3 years, no demonstration, no signs, he broke into my house, police, court, do something, nothing. You see? And he's quiet. Once the 3 years arrive, you cannot get them out. They own the house. In America, there's a similar law. How many years?
Seven.
It's called easement. 7 years people walk on your property and you did not protest. That's it. It becomes a legal path. You put a wall, the city will knock down your wall. That's already, it's a private, it's a public territory. Not only that, the laws are very clever. If a person allow people to walk, to do a shortcut in his backyard, shortcut, and then one day he walks on his own property next to the shortcut and he finds a diamond ring. Find the diamond rings. Who does the diamond ring belongs to? Huh? The owner of the land picks it up, it's his. What happened if one of the passengers, people that pass by, he found the diamond and the owner of the house also saw it, but the person who passed by, he picked it up and he said, hey, it's my property. He said, no, it's not. Why? You give us permission to go. It's the public territory. I found it, it's mine. He said, no, but we have a rule. My property buys everything that falls on it belongs to me automatically. No one's allowed to take it. I only allow you to walk here, but I didn't allow you to pick up things from the floor. What's the rule?
If
he has
a simanim. Huh?
No, I'm talking private territory, not public territory. Public territory stay public territory always and belongs to the people that own the land. The answer is the person that walks on the path can keep it. One more question. If a person goes to a restaurant, takeout, they have a counter and tables on the other side and the kitchen on the other side and the workers, the cash register. If you found $100 bill on the floor when you walk into the store, who it belongs to? The store belongs to Reuven. You found in Reuven's stores on the floor money. Do you have to give it to Reuven or you keep it? What happened if you find it inside the kitchen of the restaurant? Huh? Anything beyond the counter belongs to the owner of the restaurant because it's not public territory. Everything that goes from the counter to the door, which means he's made it hefker for the people to walk as much as they want in and out, it's like the street. If they find something over there, they take it. However, that's in case it doesn't have a sign. Like diamond ring has a sign. If it's in a Jewish area, then you know the Jew did not give up. Why in a Jewish area you have to return and in a non-Jewish area you don't have to return? Not because there's discrimination. Because when a person knows I lost something in a very religious Jewish area, there's 50,000 people, 49,000 here are very honest and religious. Once I lost my diamond ring here, I do not give up. It's not Yehush. I'm not giving up. Why? There's a very high chance that someone will put a sign tomorrow in a synagogue. A diamond ring was found yesterday. Please describe it at this telephone number and come to claim your lost object. But if I lost it in Fifth Avenue in Manhattan, When 6 million people walks, all kinds of archi-parchi, what? Right away you give up. That's it, done deal. Lost case, right? Lost case. That's the reason. If you know it's an area that the people there usually don't return, they're not exactly Moshe Rabbeinu, each one of them, then you give up. Once you give up, someone who found it can keep it. But if you know that you're in a Jewish area, the person did not give up, somebody will still return it to me. You know, one time, there was a very interesting thing. You know, if a Jew is not allowed to steal from a Goy, not even a penny, not allowed to steal from a non-Jew, it's against the Torah. A Jew that does it gets two punishments, one for the stealing, one for the Chilul Hashem. But a Jew doesn't have an obligation if he found a lost object that belongs to Vinnie Montana. He doesn't have to search for Vinnie Montana in Italy now to find him, or Mr. Lee in Shanghai. The Torah did not make a Jew responsible for objects of people that are not his brothers. However, if you find tefillin, then it belongs to a Jew for sure. If he found a Sidur, it belongs to a Jew. If he found a necklace with Star David, then you know it belongs to a Jew. There's objects that shows right away, it belongs to a Jew. Then you have to search for the owner to return it. That's a courtesy. The Torah wanted to teach you to care about your brothers. Technically, it should have been yours. He lost it, but the Torah wants to show harmony between brothers. But it's not realistic that a Jew will be responsible for 7.5 billion people that they lost their objects, right? So one time I had a girl, she was 27 years old back then. Today she's in her 40s. It was a long time ago, maybe 15 years ago. She started to come to a lecture, to the lectures, and slowly, slowly started to get interested in religion. Israeli girl, 27 years old. What was her job? She found a job to be a babysitter of 7 young models in an apartment in Manhattan. She lives with 7 young models, 15, 16, models that go doing modeling, but they're young. They don't have their parents, they come from different countries. So she gets paid to live there and to watch that they're there, they're not doing anything stupid. If something wrong, she has to report to the agency. So she lives by them. And now she's starting to become religious. It's not a job for a religious girl. They go Shabbat places. So she says, anyway, I'm leaving, I'm going to college. I say, me'apach el apachat. From a small garbage can to a bigger one. So I say to her, why are you going to waste now? You're starting now college, you're going to be 32, 33. You have to become religious and get married. Why do you need this now? No, this, I already paid for the semester. She said, how much you paid? A few $1,000, $2,000 or $3,000 was, I think, the amount that she paid. I say, it's worth to sacrifice this amount for the truth of Hashem, give it up, and become religious, Shomer Shabbat, and, you know, to go to seminary of girls in Brooklyn. Midrashia for girls. We had Midrashia at that time for Israeli girls in Brooklyn, Flatbush. So she said, yeah, but it's a lot of money for me. You know how long it took me to save it. I'm not a rich girl and all that. So what happened in the end? What happened in the end? I told her, don't worry, Hashem will send you the money anyway. If he see you give it up for him, sooner or later he'll push it into your budget. A few days later, she was so naive, this woman, so naive. Like, she doesn't know how to be bad even if she wants. So a few days later, she told me, you know what happened to me? I said, what happened to you? She said, I got on a cab, and I found a bag out in the back of the cab, and I opened it up, and it was 2,000 such and such hundreds cash in a bag. I say, and what did you do? She said, I opened it up, I saw some documents, and I found out it belongs, the driver's license belongs to one goy. So I say, what did you do? She said, I looked all over in Manhattan, I found him, and I went to his house, and I gave it to him. And I say to her, "No, and what happened?" She say, "Say thank you very much, and that's it. So he didn't give you anything? He said nothing." I say to her, "Hashem send you the money for the semester." So she say, "Yeah, but I cannot take money that somebody else lost." That's a high level of a person. But I say to her, "Isn't it a shame? At least the guy should have known you Jewish. Because you did all of that and you did not earn the Kiddush Hashem. As far as he concerned, you are Christine. What does he know about you?" He doesn't know you Jewish girl. "Did he ask you where you're from?" "No, just gave it to him. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Goodbye." Next time, at least put a Star David, put a yarmulke, pretend you're Reform, I don't care. Come with your high heels and mini skirt and a yarmulke, like they do in a Reform church, the rabbis, the rabbitsons. But as long as they think the goyim, look at these Jews, they returned a bag with cash, then at least you get the Kiddush Hashem. Otherwise, what did you get? At least get the Kiddush Hashem, which is a very big mitzvah. So the Ravai Gaon, he explained, between Jews, three ways to buy: kesef, shtar, and chazaka. However, when it comes to a goy, when you give the money to the goy, the property leaves the hand of the goy, but it does not go into the hand of the Jew yet. So where does it go? It goes to Obama for review. Where does the property go to? The Jew has to do something in the land, in the field, to gain ownership on the land. So there is a period of time that it doesn't belong to the goy, and it doesn't belong to the Jew. By the Jew, between Jew to a Jew, it has to belong to one of the Jews. It's either in Reuven's position or Shimon. There's no in between. But with the goy, first, when the goy receives the money, the property is not yours anymore. Finished. You got your money, finished. However, the Jew still has to do some kind of an act. So what is the status of the field from the time that Vini received his cash until Yossi moved into the field? It was 2 days, let's say. What's the status of the field? What do you call it in halacha? It has kemi'en efker, like efker, like it's hanging in the sky. It doesn't belong to anyone yet, pending. This is the secret of this transaction between Avraham and Ephron Achiti, when he buys Me'arat HaMachpelah. After Avraham weighed the coins, and he gave it to Ephron for the land, Vayakom Sde Ephron. Right away, he ran to the field to do something. LaAvraham leMikne leEne bnechet beKol baei shar iro. That's how, when they all saw that Avraham moved in and did something, that was the finalizing the kinyan, the ownership. However, in the eyes of the Jews, when officially Avraham became the owner of the Me'arat HaMachpelah, only after he buried Sarah over there. Once he buried Sarah, like I told you, you actually make a real change in the property, then you become the owner. One more thing. Vayomer elav ha'eved. Avraham sending Eliezer to get a shiduch for his son Yitzchak. Eliezer said to him, "Ulai lo tovei ha'isha lalechet acharai el ha'aretz hazot." Maybe she would not agree to move. Do you know how many shiduchim are breaking because one of them does not want to move to the different state? A lot of Los Angeles and New York shiduchim. The girls of Los Angeles, LA woman, she doesn't want to move to New York. Some people from New York, LA, it's not for me. Wonderful harmony between them. It could be a great shiduch. Neither of them wants to sacrifice to move. Usually New York, it's the cold. It's hot there. They don't even know what heat over there barely is. To move here to New York and to freeze, they don't want. People from New York that love the action, especially from Manhattan, they cannot move to such a quiet area, you know, over there. They don't want to move. The shiduch falls. Same thing Israel and America. Sometimes shiduchim, I want to move, make aliyah to Israel. No. I like Flatbush. When I was in Amsterdam, there was one Dutchman married to an American Flatbush girl. She said, don't know how difficult it was for me to move from Flatbush to Amsterdam. So, a totally different life. Totally. Yeah. But after 20-something years, she married to him, very nice man. Invited me to Amsterdam, a group of people. Eventually, you get used to it. Sometimes you never get used to it. You just live in a constant sacrifice for your spouse. Why? Because you rather be here and married with children than being single over there, the place you like, right? So Eliezer said, maybe she won't agree to come with me. Will I return your son to the country where you came from? Vayomer elav Avraham, yishamer lecha pen tashiv et bni shama. Be careful not to send my son back there. Many people ask, what is the problem that Avraham Avinu has? There is a halacha that even though a Jew is not allowed to leave Israel, there are a few exceptions to the rule. The general rule is a Jew that lives in Israel has no permission to leave Israel, not even on a trip. He wants to see the Himalaya Mountains, the Niagara Falls, Manhattan buildings. Watch it online. Building, I saw it, big deal. What, all the schlepping, running, you know? It's hard to believe how much people are willing to spend to go and see some kind of a building or a mountain. No. So what happened? It's funny, really. So what happened now? A person that wants to leave Israel, what are the conditions that allow him to leave? When? One, to save a Jew from prison. A Jew is in a prison by the goyim. Back in the time, the goyim used to capture Jews, not because they committed crime, because they want ransom. They just take a Jew, come with us, put a sack on his head, put him in some jail, and they publish on the street that Itzik is eating lobsters in our jail over there. No kosher food, nothing. They get the Jews panic. So the Jews get very nervous, and they want to release him. So they're starting to collect money. That's called mitzvah of pidyon shvuim, redemption of the prisoner. It's such an important mitzvah that you're allowed to sell the only Sefer Torah that you have in town and left with no Sefer Torah to release the Jew. However, it's also a catch-22. What happens if you pay the goyim for Itzik? 2 minutes later, they capture Avi. You pay for Avi, they capture Moishi. There's no end to it. Who figured it out? The Maharam Mirotenburg, one of the biggest legends in Jewish history, 800 years ago. The goyim put him in jail. He said to his student, I forbid you from releasing me. I'll stay in their jail for the rest of my life. I said, Rabbi, we need you here. Don't pay them a penny for me. Why? You pay them for me, they will make it a habit. They'll never leave us alone. I'll give my life that they see doesn't pay. So he stayed in jail for the rest of his life. And when he died, Imach Shimam Vezichram, they refused to give the bodies, just like the Arabs. The Arab has 2 pieces of bodies of Israeli soldier from the last war, hand or head, something. Not the whole body. The whole body is scattered to a million pieces. They have a hand, few pieces in a bag. They refused to give it to the family for burial. And this was a war. This is the law in a war. When the war finishes, you give the body. You release the prisoner, you give the body. They want thousands of murderers to be free for a hand of one Israeli soldier. That's, by the way, the ratio. One hand of a dead Israeli soldier worth 1,000 Palestinians on a scale, the value. They put the price. Don't say racism and discrimination. They put the price tag. One Israeli soldier, 1,000 Muhammads. Yes. However, the Israelis are so generous to the murderers, to the Arab murderers, they just love them. The Israeli government, they adore them. Every time they come to murder a Jew, 2 days later, they wrap the terrorist in a nice bag, FedEx. FedEx, Mustafa, Kifhalak, Alhamdulillah, here is your son, UPS, in a box. Special delivery. And they make funeral and they cheer for the murderer. 1,000 murderers cheer for the murderers. If it was by Putin, he would wait for all of them to come to his funeral and bomb all of them and kill all 1,000 of them. But the Israeli government, they supply them with some water. Do you want something? Do you want us maybe to give you a bridge? You need something? So what happened? 7 murderers were given to them this week. So you ask me, how can it be the Israelis can be so foolish? They don't let 2 little pieces of a body for already more than a year. They don't release. Why they give them body after body of murderers that killing innocent civilians? No, give me one reason. Cannot be that the government are so foolish, no? It's a right government. Supposed to be a lot of, not liberals, the opposite. Liberals, I understand. Everything, terrorists, human rights. But right now the government is going to the right side. So how they still act so foolishly? Huh? They're afraid of the Arab reaction. They don't have an answer. If we don't give them the bodies, they get angrier. They're gonna kill us more. Since our hands are tight because Obama watches us with remote control, we cannot move. We better give them the bodies before they get angrier and kill another 5 every day. You understand how you surrender to the terror? The problem is that they don't understand that when the terrorists find out that the enemy that he's dealing with is so weak, he becomes so strong. And the damage is 10 or 100 times more. If you're not strong against terrorists, you're done. They'll never leave you alone. As soon as they find a weakness, nonstop. One thing after the other. So what's the solution? Very simple. You hurt their pocket. I don't buy from my enemies. Why should I give you profit that you have more strength to come and kill my child tomorrow? I don't step into your stores. Anyone who hired them should put on a ban. Nobody should buy from their stores. Do it 1 month, they will starve to death. They won't have what to eat. They will come and say, let's make peace. Too much violence. You can kill them with a pocket. With a war, they are stronger than us. The Israeli army is not what it used to be. They're winning all battles. They're more sophisticated, they're more clever, they're more powerful, and they're not afraid to die. And Itzik from Schenkin with the earring over here and the ponytail, who just came from the club in Tel Aviv with some pills in his pocket, he just showed up to the army. 2 months later, he has to go with Ahmed the gorilla. Bismillah, all day like this. Olive oil and za'atar, like this. Itbach el Yahud. From age 0, he's already practicing for the day to kill a Jew. And this Itzi came, hi Ahmed, maybe we can understand each other? Human rights, you know, Itbach el Yahud. Did you hear what happened on the plane yesterday? Well, Israeli came from Africa, on the plane an Arab Sudani tried to murder him. Itbach el Yahud jumped, wanted to choke him in the plane. You know, it's amazing. They cannot see a Jew and stay calm. The hate that they have to the Jews is so unbelievable. They can't even hold it. At least a Christian anti-Semite, you see a Jew, he makes a dirty face. What is he going to do? Try to choke him on the street? Usually doesn't happen. But by them, they just, it's so hard for them to hold themselves. Mamash, it's impossible. Ishmael pere Adam yado bako v'yad kolbo. If the Israelis that hire them will find out that now in Facebook they published, ban one Arab worker terrorist in your store, nobody buys from you. Doesn't matter you're religious, not religious. Give business to other people who are unemployed. You don't have workers, don't be in business. Nobody can work inside of us if he murder us. Give it a month, you see the difference. You won't hear one beep.
When?
It's supposed to be already. Somebody has to do it. Somebody has to take the yozma. But right away, as soon as you will offer it, all the Libras will scream, shame on you, racist. Is it because of racism or is it because of self-defense? Since when self-defense became racism? And if it wasn't Arab, it was a Russian that wants to kill us. It would be the same thing. It's nothing to do with who it is. Someone wants to murder me. Does it make sense that I'm going to give him business? Does it make sense that I'm going to give him a job? Does it make sense that I'll risk my life to enter his store and maybe choke me and put me in a basement to die? It doesn't make sense. So what's the claim? So everybody asks, why Abraham was so panicking that Yitzhak will go back to overseas? You're allowed to go for shiduch. You're allowed to release a Jew from the goyim. You're allowed to go to find a shiduch. You're allowed to go to learn Torah in a higher level. And if you're stuck with merchandise that you cannot sell in Israel, you have expensive diamonds, I don't know, there's no market for it. If you don't sell it in a month or two, it will go, you know, bad. You go bankrupt. So they allow you to go to a show, something overseas, you sell it, and you come right back. For shiduch, it's not so simple for shiduch. Why? Many people think, I'm living in Israel already 10 years. It's 10 years I'm looking for shiduch, and I cannot find. Maybe I move to America, over there I'll find shiduch. It's not allowed. When it's allowed to go to overseas for shiduch? When? Who knows? Anyone knows? When you have a specific offer. Miriam or Rachel or Shifra is waiting for you. You understand? Now when you know you have a specific shiduch, your cousin from the Kafkazi family or Bukhari or Persian or I don't know what. Now there's a chance. So you go, you date her, everything fine. That's allowed. You did not violate the rule. So in this case, Abraham had a specific shiduch for Yitzchak. So what's the problem? He could have gone.
Allowed to leave there also, to leave Israel and live in America or somewhere else?
Allowed. Once you go out, you go out. That's it. It's a good point. You're having a good point. Technically, you should have come right back. To sell his merchandise, he sold the merchandise, he has to come back. To release the Jew from a prison, you release the Jew, you come back. What do you have to do over there? But if you want to go and marry a woman and she lives overseas, she doesn't want to come to Israel, you have mitzvah of pruvu. It comes before of the mitzvah of living in Israel. If you have two mitzvot that collides with each other, Miriam is ready to marry you, and she's a wonderful girl, tzaddeket, you know, from good yeshiva, good seminary, everything fine, good family. She has a good job here in America, and you can establish a great home. Everything looks perfect. But she doesn't want to move to Israel for different reasons. You want to be with your family, she's afraid of the terrorism, whatever. She has a good job, you know, different reasons. So now the question is, are you breaking the shiduch because you want to live in Israel? The answer is no. Why? Because you have an obligation to live in Israel and you have an obligation to get married and have children, the faster the better. If you can get married today, you're ready, and you delay it by a year, you're going to get punished for it. If you cannot find, it's not in your hand. But if you have a girl already, you dated her, and she's good for you, and you know it's fine, and you say, we're going to get married in 6 months. Why? Why 6 months? You want the Mashiach to come and do Kiddushin for you? Who are you waiting for? So here is what's happening here. So the chova to live in Eretz Israel is machloket rishonim. Some say it's not apply in today's generation. It's no obligation to live in Israel. No Bet Mikdash, no religious establishment, no obligation to live in Israel. Of course, mitzvah to live in Israel, to walk in Israel, to breathe the air of Israel. It's all mitzvot. Obligation to live there, some say even today yes, some say today no. But to get married to a woman and have kids right away, everybody say right away with no argument. So if you have bari veshema, bari adif. You have maybe and certain. Certain against maybe. Here 50-50, maybe yes, maybe not. Here guarantee. Everybody agree. Mitzvah to get married and have children. How many children you have to have?
Two.
Minimum two. Which one?
One and one.
One boy, one girl. Is it according to all opinions in the Gemara or no?
No.
In the Gemara, Bet Shammai say two boys. Like in India, they don't want girls. Do you know the story I said a few years ago? One guy, his wife already had four girls. And she's pregnant, she's doing a week. And he has some Muslim mentality, this guy. I don't want to say what nationality he is, because I see some of the people here from that country. Everybody's wondering, maybe it's us. Relax, it happens everywhere. So he said to his wife, listen, I don't care. If it's a girl, don't even call me and don't come back home. I have enough with four. Another girl, don't come back. Like it's in her hand. This fool, it depends on the man. If it's a boy or a girl. Nothing to do with the woman. The woman is just an incubator. If it's a girl, stay in the hospital. So the wife came to the delivery room with such, she's so nervous. What's going to be if it's a girl? So the doctor, he said, why are you so nervous? It's not the first time you deliver her. So she said, my husband told me this, that. He said, what kind of a foolish husband you have? How can he speak like this? He said, don't worry, leave it to me. I promise if it's a girl, I get you back into your house. Relax, relax, relax. Push! Push. So, after a few minutes, yeah, what is it, girl? Now she's bechlal, shivering, crying. Oh, Hashem, tatzivati. The doctor said, I told you, leave it to me. Relax. Let me handle it. He goes to the father. He calls him up. Itzik! Yes, it's the doctor from the hospital, your wife's doctor. No? It's a boy. Ah! Ishtabach shemo! Wait, don't be so happy. I don't have such great news. What happened, doctor? Everything okay? Don't ask. Shem Yirachem. What? One ear is big, one ear is folded, small like this. Right away I see we need a surgery. I hope it's not a tumor. Ma? Right, born already problems? Wait, that's not even the beginning. One leg is folded crooked, one leg is too big and long. We need 5 surgeries to try to fix it. One kidney is big, one is small. One side of the body is growing, one side of the body is paralyzed. And we check the baby and we see all kinds of other problems. It's something with the brain. Oh, this guy screaming, why, Hashem, why? He said to him, quickly come to my office. We have to discuss what to do. The guy showed up in the hospital. Doctor here, doctor, he comes inside. He says, you see, you fool. You told your wife, don't give me a girl, don't give me a girl. Wouldn't you replace this miserable boy now with a healthy, beautiful girl? I said, of course, I'm such a fool. Give me 5 more years, just take this boy. He said to him, fine, I'll give you a girl. Mazal tov, you have a girl, healthy, healthy girl. What? It's a girl. He runs in the hospital. I thought you don't want me to come back home. No, no, don't worry. Give only girls. What a clever doctor. So, why is Avraham is worried that his Yitzchak is going to leave the country? He has a specific why. Avraham already saw in a vision that he has to be the daughter of Betuel. Many answers were given to that. One of the opinions is, you asked a very good question before, when you go to get married to a girl in overseas, what's the goal? The goal is to do everything you can to bring her with you to Israel to live. If there's, no matter what, it's not a possibility, fine. But the goal is not when she say, yeah, you know, I have social security, a few hundred dollars. For that, he's agreed to stay in America. That's not a reason. We're talking only in a very rare cases, fine. But other than that, he has to do everything he can to bring her to Israel. That's the main goal. So Eliezer is asking, ולא טובה האישה ללכת אל הארץ הזאת. He's already an answer asking Avraham, maybe she won't want to come. Right? Avraham say, oh, if that's the case, it's a problem. Why? I want Yitzchak to be here in Eretz Israel, not to go to overseas. So he knew if he will allow Yitzchak to go, they may convince him to stay over there. Better you stay here, she's going to come here. It wasn't like today, you get on a plane 10 hours later in Tel Aviv walking. To go from one country to another on a camel in the heat, it's weeks. Once you got there, you don't have the desire to go back now in another journey. That's the main reason why Avraham said what he said. Now, let's explain literally some of the things of the parasha that you may never heard before. After the Akedah, Ba Satan le Sarah, the Satan came to Sarah in the image of Yitzchak. And he told her, Yitzchak was almost slaughtered. Sarah, when she heard it, her soul came out. When Avraham came from Be'er Sheva, after he was delayed there, after the Akedah, he already found Sarah dead. She passed away. 127 years of Sarah's life, all her years are equally good. Avraham came to the tent, he was crying next to her body. The word livkota, Avraham came to cry on her. It has a small letter, chaf. Livkota, the chaf is very strange, it's very small in the Torah. Why? Because he wants to show us that Avraham cried very little. He cried an hour or two, and he accepted the judgment of Hashem with love. If that's what Hashem wants, I accept it. After he cried, he came out of the tent, he went to Bnei Chet, the people of Hebron, and he said, I came as a visitor from a different country, but now I live among you. I'm a resident, give me a piece of land to buy that I can bury my wife. They told him, you're not a regular resident, you're a very special person. Any property you want, it's yours. You're an important rabbi. Imagine today a rabbi comes, he lives in, I don't know, some country, and he comes to the goyim over there, the city hall. Hello, Mr. Mayor, I am a resident here. I'm looking for property that I can make a little cemetery for my wife. They say to him, oh, you're the famous rabbi from Israel, don't worry. Any property you want, Fifth Avenue, you like it, over there. Park Avenue, over there. Great Neck, Middle Neck Road, over there, no problem. Just choose it. What's the chance that something like this would happen?
Zero.
Not even zero. Zero is good. But that's what they told Abraham. But Abraham is not a greedy person who likes to take advantage on people. No, I want to pay. Abraham say, I don't want for free. I want to pay. Which property he chose? The property of Ephron Achiti. Ephron ben Tzohar Achiti. Tell him to sell me the cave that he has, that it's in the edge of his field. Why Abraham chose this? Why he wants to be buried there? Because Adam is there. Adam and Chava is there. How did Abraham find the cave? There was no GPS. Adam and Chava grave. Make a right, 5 miles up the hill. How did he find the cave in such a world with no communication? It may take 20, 30 years to find it, no? How did Abraham find it? When he went to bring the calf to the guests that came to him, the Arabs, one calf ran away. And he was chasing him. And he entered the cave. Look how Hashem directed him there. And then he saw Adam and Chava buried over there. And he understood the value of the cave. And Ephron that became the governor at that day of the people of Chet, the Goyim, he said to Abraham, I don't want money. Take it for free. Abraham did not want for free. He said, I want to pay full price. So Ephron told him, the whole field with the grave and everything, with the cave and everything, not more than 400 shekel kesef. He killed him on a price. First he said, that's 400 between me and you. The Gemara said, you know what's the difference between a tzaddik and rasha? I don't know.
Yeah,
it's working. The tzaddik speaks very little and does a lot. He speaks 5%, does 100%. He doesn't want a lot of noise and credit. Behind the scene, he does everything. Why? Hashem is watching. Why do I need a show of fear? Hashem is watching, I'm more than happy. The rest, it doesn't make any difference. The Rasha, I will do, I will help, it's all on me, don't worry, I'm taking care of everything. And when the time comes, I'm sorry, business is slow right now. Call me next month. I had a friend, he wrote a book. My friend is very straight and very honest. He can't tell a lie. Baruch Hashem, it's a gift from Shamayim. Some people try to convince them to tell a lie, they're just unable to. They can't. Even if you tell them, repeat after me, they'll turn into a tomato. They just cannot. I will never forget that one time we had mamash, almost a life and death issue. And I say to a friend of mine that now is living in Israel, that's what you have to say, otherwise it's going to be a disaster. Sheker l'shem shalom, it's allowed. Life to make peace, not to cause a disaster, not to risk someone's life, not to cause the fight between two people. Then you're allowed to change the details a little bit, not to create a war. So when the time came, I saw his mouth like this. I said, no. It couldn't come out of his mouth. Why? When you makpid so much to say always the truth, if you have to ever lie, it's like a death sentence for you. Your whole body is having a rush. You're getting nervous, the heat of the body, you begin to sweat. How does it, when a person smuggles something on a duty, when he goes there in a custom, how do they know who to find always?
You, come here, you.
They teach them to read body language. So when a person come with his wheels, everyone, like this, right away, hey, you, come here. What's over there all of a sudden? A person has to walk straight, steady, walks like this, not to show any signs of fear. But the problem is that it comes from the subconscious. So a person cannot control it. So what happened? Either he sweat, and they see his eyes are moving, and he goes like this, and he goes like this. His body shrink, you know, instead of going like this. When I go, they always call me. They always call me. Why? Because I'm the only one come with a suit and a tie. Right away, they think some kind of a diamond dealer, probably smuggling diamonds, especially in Belgium, over there. So when I come, and they call me, right away I smile, I say, here you go. As soon as they looked at me like this in Israel, I say, okay, you can go. It doesn't even open. I say, fine. Oh, I say, you have anything? I say, nothing here. I don't have anything. What do I take? So as soon as you see my confidence, you're good. Lech, not sorry. They already know my guy like this is not afraid. But if a person has diamonds inside or a lot of cash, his hands begin to shake. He's beginning to speak, stuttering all of a sudden. The difference between a tzaddik and rasha is that the tzaddikim speak little and do a lot, the rasha speaks a lot, do nothing. So my friend, since he's so straight, he's writing a book now. Dictionary about Rashi. All the Rashi's in a Tanakh, in a Gemara, but he makes a dictionary. You need, because it's a hard language, which is going to be a useful book eventually. So one person, he told him, when you need the money for the book, let me know, I'll give it to you. I think it was $10,000 to start publishing it. So he said to him, okay, when I'll finish the book, give me the money. So when he came the next day, he saw me in the shul, he said, well, you know, this guy, he told me that, you know, I told him that I'm writing a book. Right away, he said, don't worry, the expenses of the book, it's all on me. How much? 10,000. I'll give it to you. He didn't say when. So I told him, okay, when the book will be ready, I'll call you. I told him, you'll never get a penny. A moment he told you, how much the book is this? Tell him, okay, I'm on my way. Why, 2 minutes later, the Yetzer Hara is going to tell him, you're crazy, you want to pay for a book, religious book. In Israel, it's called Makim Bavarzel Shuham. You bend the metal when it's hot. Once it's cold, you're done. So I already know who this person is. Speaking, getting excited. When it comes to reality, nothing. Same thing over here. I told him, when somebody offers you something right now, same thing when a person told me, I'm going to come to the yeshiva. But give me a few days, I don't leave him alone. Because I know in 3 days he won't even remember he met me, Bechlad. Right now he's inspired. Right now you're coming. Come for 2-3 days and go for Shabbat back to your parents. Why? With the inspiration, you get him right into the Torah. 2-3 days in yeshiva, you broke his satan off him, his Yetzer Hara is done, and Baruch Hashem, you saved his neshama. How many times it happened? So, in the end, Avraham paid him 400. And he was surrounded with trees. Ephron wrote a shtar to Avraham. Avraham also did chazaka in a karka in front of all the goyim. He buried Sarah legally, and now it belongs to Avraham and his children for eternity. And what? And anyone who take it from us is a ganav and gazlan. Here you go. 3 years later, what happened? Who knows? 3 years later, what happened? Abraham called Eliezer, he's in charge of all his business, and made him swear that he won't take from a wife from the seven cursed nations that live in Israel. They call them Canaanim, even though they are broken to seven different nations, because they live in Eretz Canaan. He will go to his family in Haran and bring a kalah for Yitzchak. Haran, where is Haran? Who knows? In Aram Naharaim. Where is Aram Naharaim? That's where Avraham Avinu came from. Avraham Avinu was the first Hebrew. You can call him the first Jew, you can call him the first Hebrew. Where is Aram Naharaim? One guess. Very good. The Judaica store helps, I see. Very good, no? Kurdistan. Between Persia, Turkey, and Iraq, where the Kurdish people are getting butchered day and night. Once by Saddam, then by the Iranians, then by Erdogan. From all directions, they get punches. But the world doesn't care about the Kurdish. 5,000 Kurdish will die. One Ahmed terrorist Palestinian. Where do you hear more echo? The whole world, the hypocrite world. Muhammad, Muhammad, wow, poor Muhammad. Wow, demonstration, boycott Israel. I put on my Facebook page, whoever has these rings on the phone, please put it silent. So, one time I put on my Facebook page a picture that a family, very primitive, like the cavemen. Remember the time of the cavemen? They sit without a shirt, with a stick, and they all dress like this, you know, like Adam HaKadmon, the caveman. And the son asks his father, "Dad, how did we end up like this?" He said, "Well, it all started when we started to boycott Israel. And one thing led to another." Almost everything is invented by Israel. Computers, cell phones, processors, laptops, hospital equipment, weapon, airplanes, all kinds of things, medicine. You want to boycott Israel? It's like taking the heart out of a person's body. It's the heart of the world, man. Don't you see that everything is somehow connected to Israel? They don't. And I'm like, they have eyes, but they cannot see. So what happened? 3 years later, he's sending him to Kurdistan, which is also close to Syria. Syria, Iraq, that area where you have the Kurdish people. Oh, actually, Aram Naharaim is Iraq, Kurdistan. Aram Padan is Syria. Aram Padan. How the Syrians call it? Aram Tzova. The Syrian, they have in a synagogue on a Sidur, Kemin Hage, Aram Sova. What is it? Syria, Halep, Syria, all these areas. Okay.
Aram Sova, Halep.
Aram Sova, Halep. Only Halep. Okay. I don't want to get into trouble here. Okay. Seder, we learn. Baruch Hashem, Halep. Okay. Eliezer asked, they have the same lachma bajin, Haleb in Damascus, same thing. In that case, doesn't matter. As long as they have the same good food, everything is fine. So now, so it says like this. It says, Eliezer asks, and if a woman doesn't want to come, would I take Yitzchak? So I'm saying, no, absolutely not. Like we said just a few minutes ago, Yitzchak is a perfect Ola. He cannot leave Israel even once. And Abraham blessed him that the angels of Hashem will show him the way. They swore to each other. And then Abraham, you know, Abraham knows that Eliezer is anxious. Maybe his daughter would marry Yitzchak. He said to him, cursed and blessed, cannot marry together. Very sorry, that's it. Why cursed? Eliezer Evet Knaani. Knaan was cursed by Noah. It was his grandson. He cursed him. And Abraham is blessed. Baruch Abraham le'el Elyon. Abraham is Baruch. It reminds me, speaking Baruch Abraham, So I have a friend. I once told that story many years ago. I don't know, maybe you ever heard it before. But if not, it's worth to come just for that. So my friend, he used to drive with me a lot to lectures many years. So he never got married. And one time, one guy came to me and said, "You know that your friend is a Kohen?" I said, "What are you talking about? He never says a Kohen. He doesn't go to Birkat Kohanim. He's not a Kohen. What Kohen? What are you talking about?" So he told me, yes. One time he told me that his father used to do Birkat Kohanim in Israel. I said, "Are you serious?" And he just pretend he's not a Kohen? So right away my head begin to think, why this guy will hide that he's a Kohen? One guess, why? Huh? He wants to get married. And Kohen cannot marry a divorced woman. So it cut half of his options immediately. Because he's close to 50 years old back then. He was 45, 46. And to find a girl that's single, that's, you know, it's very difficult in this age. So, you know, he has a chance to find a divorced woman. But if he will say he's a Kohen, it's a big problem. First, every woman that was once with a goy, forbidden for a Kohen. So right away, a lot of the Baalot Tshuva, even though they're righteous today, they're not good. And the next thing, if she's a divorced woman, he cannot marry her. Widow, he can marry. A woman that she's not a virgin, he can also marry, because there's no Kohen Gadol. Only Kohen Gadol have this extra restriction. So what happened in the end? What happened in the end? So when I found out, now I have to get it out of him. So I came to him, I said to him, "Ta lo mitbayesh? You're not embarrassed all these years? You never tell me that you're Kohen?" He looked at me, "Who told you this shtuyot?" I said to him, "You told this guy that your father used to do Birkat Kohanim." He said, "No, it was a joke, don't listen to him." I said to him, "Listen, it's serious business. They're giving you a divorced woman and you agree to get married. Who do you fool? You fool yourself. You go against Hashem rules? No, no, don't even mention it. Be careful. I don't want anyone to hear it. It's a lie." But I see in his body language that something is not convincing. So I said to him, he said to me, "I'm telling you, I'm not a Kohen." I said, "Listen, I have a feeling you are a Kohen. I'm going to say to everyone you're a Kohen. Don't dare to say I'm not a Kohen." So I said to him, "You know what, let's ask Hashem." So he looked at me, he said, "Well, what do you mean, let's ask Hashem? You became Moshe Rabbeinu?" I said, "Not yet. But we will do Goral. We'll do Goral Agra. We'll make prayer for Hashem. You open the Chumash, the Torah, on the right side. If we have the word Kohen, it's a sign you're Kohen. You agree?" He looks at me, he said, "Okay." We take the Chumash, we say a prayer, "Hashem, please show us if he's a Kohen or not. We don't want to make a mistake." Now we say the prayer, tefillah, open. He open. Itro Kohen Midian. So I said to him, "Ishtabach Shemohir, it said the word Kohen." "Where, where?" He said, "No! It's Itro Kohen Midian, the Afifior, it's a Goy. How can it be Kohen? Itro, Kohen Midian, Avodah Zarah, ma." I said, "Listen, don't be a wise guy. We say if the word Kohen is here, you're Kohen." "No, no, you know that doesn't mean a Kohen." And he's a very stubborn guy. So I said to him, "Let's do it again, you see I'm not a Kohen." I said, "What do you think, it's a joke? Why, it's a game? Let's do it again." He said, "No, let's do it again." I said, "Okay, we'll do it again, but you promise that if it's going to be Kohen, no matter what, you're going to..." He said, "Yes, yes, this time if it comes, that's it." So he said to me, "Listen to me, I'm going to fool you now." I said, "What?" He said, "I will open in Bereshit. Bereshit of no Kohanim. I'll open it like this. In the first 10 pages, no, there's no Kohen." I say, "Open whatever you want, I don't care. Just open." He opened. The whole right side was Haftarah. Haftarah. In the bottom, there were two lines from the parasha, the next parasha. What does it say over there? Malki Tzedek Kohen Le'el Elyon.
That's not the real Kohen.
Malki Tzedek a Kohen to the God. Before he said, Yitro Kohen Midian, it's not Kohen for Hashem. He opened, Malki Tzedek Kohen Le'el Elyon. He said, how can it be? I'm not a Kohen. Did he accept the verdict? Of course not. Still looking for Grusha. Is it reliable to determine halakha? Of course not. We don't go halakha like this. When do you use this, if you know how to do it? Not every day. Hashem, let's put a piece of paper in a thing and open. It doesn't work that way. You can only use it when you lost all the options. No chacham to ask. You don't know what to do. And you and Hashem left alone. Or if you try to make a person religious, no matter what you try, did not work. And you're about to leave. You lost him. That's it. It's a done deal. Why do you have to lose? Maybe you're going to have a clear miracle. It happened to me 6 or 7 times already, over the 20 years. Few times that I said to the guy, okay, you don't want to come to the yeshiva? Open. We'll see what's going to be. One time, there was a guy about coming to the yeshiva. He refused to come. He wants to stay in Flatbush. After I tried for over an hour to convince him on the street, didn't help. I was about to leave. I said, okay, open. He said, if you're going to stay here, you're going to melt to death for rebelling against me. He said, wait, give me 2 minutes. He ran upstairs to his father's house. He brought a big bag like this. I brought him to the yeshiva. Baruch Hashem, today is a big chacham in Israel. That's God save. One time, a guy came to me for Shabbat. He has a ponytail. Finally, he agreed to come with his wife for Shabbat. So I said to him, listen, Ami, I just have a haircut before you come. You know, there's a lot of Hasidim kids here. They're going to see with a ponytail, they're going to start screaming, goy, goy. They never saw a Jew with a ponytail. It's going to be embarrassing. Go have a haircut. No, what? You know how many years it took me to make this ponytail? I think men love their ponytail more than the women do. No matter what, I tried. No, but I wanted to come for Shabbat. So he said to me, don't worry, I have an idea. I'm going to get a hat, I'll push the ponytail inside, nobody will see it. I said, okay, you know what? Better than nothing. He comes to me the whole Shabbat. Motzei Shabbat, I said to him, yalla, come to the shower, I'll cut your ponytail. No, no, his wife, no. I said, come, don't be a little kid. You're already becoming Shomer Shabbat, get rid of this. No, 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 argument, 20 minutes. I said, okay, I already lost him. He's about to leave my house, Motzei Shabbat. What do I have to lose? I lost the argument. Let's open, you ready? He opened, guess what came out? Shua Rishona Miyemin. V'aya ka'asher tarid ufarak ta'ulo me'al tzavarcha. The only place in the whole Tanakh that it speaks about something on the neck, on the back neck, remove it. It says remove. V'aya ka'asher tarid ufarak ta'ulo me'al tzavarcha. Get it off your neck. The next day, he came with this small tennis ball hair, head like this, his hair became small. Baruch Hashem, he became religious, not fanatic. He lives in Queens with his wife, Shomrei Shabbat, Baruch Hashem. So you use it when there is already nothing else to do. As long as you convince him in a good way, you don't. It's not a lottery here. But when you lost the argument, if it happened, it happened. If it doesn't happen, you didn't lose anything. So mamash, before we finish, Eliezer took 10 camels full of wealth and a will that all the wealth belongs to Yitzhak. Because Yitzhak is a billionaire. Imagine Bill Gates send his servant to find a wife for his son. And Bill Gates give him a note, Microsoft, all the stocks, all the houses, all belong to him. Right? And he gives it to him. He filmed him on the phone. You see, Bill Gates, he hugs his son. Don't worry, Mr. My future daughter-in-law. Everything I have goes to him. Is this a way to find a shidduch? If you're a fool, yes. If you're smart, you don't want her to know you, Bill Gates. You borrow your friend's kurkinet. You know what kurkinet is? Little scooter. You come, why you came with a scooter? You're the richest guy in the world. I don't want her to marry me for my money. Well, I want her to marry me for who I am, not for the money. So why Eliezer is going to impress Rivka with gifts, jewelry, 10 camels full of wealth? Good thing he did not bring the whole house. Then he makes signs. If she will be, she'll give me, and she'll give to the camel. And then she's from the family that Avraham told me. That means is the future wife of Yitzchak. Before he finished to pray, Rivka bat Betuel, that was the granddaughter of Nahor, the brother of Avraham. Let's repeat. Avraham has a brother. What's his name? Nahor. Who is their father? Terach. Terach, Avraham, Nahor. Right? Terach, the head of the pyramid, Avraham and Nahor. So now we have Avraham and Nahor. Rivka, she is a daughter of Betuel. And she is a granddaughter of Nahor. So meaning, now Yitzchak is her uncle. Do you understand why or no? Because Yitzchak is second generation and she's third generation. She's his nephew. So, very nice. All stay in the family. So he asks for water. She takes everything. She gives him water and she brings for the camel. Okay. Then Eliezer asks her who you are, and she said that she's exactly the one that Avraham told him. He takes two bracelets of gold and earrings and he gives it to her. And then he asks if they have room in the house to sleep. If there's room for him to sleep. Today, when someone wants to come for Shabbat, what do you have to prepare for him? One bed, two beds, finished. One room, two rooms, done. Few towels, shower, finished. No big deal. Back in the time, if somebody wants to come for Shabbat, you have to park 5 camels inside. For him, for his wife, for all the suitcases. Where are you going to put the camels inside your house? You know, when you go to Europe, in Antwerp, in Belgium, they have doors that are very, very high. Not like here. If you have a basketball player, when he comes to enter your house, it's forehead bang to the top of the door. Why? It's not so high. But in Belgium, very, very tall, big doors. Why they made such big doors? Because some of these buildings are 300-400 years old. From the old days of Europe. From a long, long time, before the war, before the Nazis. So why they needed such doors? They used to bring their animals inside, the horses, whatever they had. Well, the horse will freeze outside. You cannot leave him, so they bring him to the back. But he has to enter. And they're tall, the horses are tall with the head. Imagine now you come to bring him in, he goes like this, on two legs, he bangs his head, he died. Your Mercedes is just gone, total. You know, one elephant wanted to come and join the minyan. So he came to the shul. He was trying to get into the door, but he's too fat, so he cannot enter. So the Jews are saying, hey, excuse me, what are you doing? He said, I came to join the minyan. They say, no, look at the church across the street. The door is very wide over there. You can go smooth. He said to them, you're crazy with a nose like this. You want me to go over there? I belong here. So, so he asked to stay by the house for one night. Or maybe a few nights. So, Eliezer is blessing Hashem for the miracle. Rivka runs to tell her mother. And who comes into the picture now? The cook. Smell, he saw bracelets. Like, this. Wow, bracelet. God, who gave it to you? This man came, look at this camel full. He came with his Bentley. Oh, very good. Right away, how are you? How are you? If he come with a little Toyota, can you come next hour? I'm busy for you. No time. Say, hypocrisy. Right away, Lavan, come inside. Tov, so they want Eliezer to eat. He said, I'm not going to eat until I finish my shlichut. Avraham sent me on a mission. Once I'm done with my mission, I sit to eat. So they said, tell us about it. So he said, Avraham just had a boy before. He's very old now. He had a boy. He showed him the wheel. And he said, but Avraham making him swear that he has to marry from the same family. He want to become shiduch or not? If not, I'll go to other families over here. Lavan and Betuel say, we see everything is mishamayim here. The two tzaddikim, the two chief rabbis. Lavan and Betuel, after they saw the cash, they say, Me'ashem haya adavar. It's all from Hashem. Of course, she's for Yitzchak. So, Baruch Hashem, everything is fine. Eliezer take out gold and silver, gives it to them. To Rivka, all kinds of clothing, gifts. They eat, they drink. Baruch Hashem, they're very happy. In the morning, Eliezer say, let me go to my master. They said, Lavan and the mother of Rivka, they say, maybe she will wait a year or at least 10 months. What's the rush? How old was she?
Three.
There's different opinions. Don't scream three.
Okay.
One opinion, she was 12. One opinion, the Gaon Mivilna, she was 14. One opinion, she was 3. 12 and 14, it's no problem. Our grandmother used to get married in this age. Only 50 years ago, 40 years ago. Well, how three? How old was Yitzhak? 37. Well, you want him to become like Muhammad? 90 years old, marry a 6 years old girl? How would he marry a 3 years old? If she was 3 according to that opinion, what do you think? He marry her and she become already pregnant tomorrow morning? She's a little girl. They wait until she grows. They take care of her by Sarah and Abraham, whatever. No, Sarah, by Abraham. But after that, she grow up. She become 12. Get married. There's many cases like this in the Gemara that the father marries daughter to someone's son, but they wait until she become 12. They give her the option to refuse. It's called memaenet. If she refuses, that's everything. It was conditional marriage. Why they used to do it? Who would do such thing? What's the rush? Now the boy looks good. How do you know how he's going to look in 10 years? How do you know? Whatever. What? The answer is because the goyim used to come and kidnap Jewish girls. But the goyim would not take a married woman. So as soon as they come, he runs with a ketubah. Here, she's married. She belongs to a man already. Married. There was an insurance policy, life saving. Later, if she refused, she refused. So they say, how about 10 months she would wait, or at least one, you know, maybe 1 year she would stay here with us. Aval, he said, no, we have to leave right away. And they say, let's ask her. Bo nishal la nara. She said, I want to go. The Gemara asked, and where was Betuel? Betuel is the father. Ma, they put the father, locked him in the bathroom?
He died.
He died. How he died?
He
wanted to poison him. Why? What's the, what? It doesn't make any sense. Why would you want to poison a chicken that gives you eggs made out of gold? He's going to get a lot of cash from him. Why to kill him? The answer is, there's different opinions. One opinion is that he did not want the shiduch. And mamash, an angel, came and killed him. But one thing we have to ask, this very interesting thing here. Very interesting thing. Rivka say, I want to go. They take her. She cover herself with a special scarf. Very modest. They go. They pass by the well, it's called Be'er Lechai Roi. That is close to where he lives in the south of the land. Why? Because they wanted to pick up on the way who they wanted to pick up to bring to Abraham. Hagar. Why they want to pick up Hagar? that Abraham will marry her again. Did you ever know that or no? We know at one point she was kicked out, right? And it's really confusing. Let's ask a question, see if anyone would know. In the first time, Sarah said to Abraham, have a kid with Hagar. But then she was making fun at Sarah. Abraham threw Hagar and Ishmael. He gave them water and they left, and the angel came to them in the desert and said, return to your master Sarah to be tortured by her. Itanita chadad, nachon? Later, she was kicked again, but this time for good. But when? When? When she was kicked again? Because this time, the Midrash said that Abraham used to go and look for Ishmael to see if he got married. If he threw him and he almost died and the angel made them come back, that means Ishmael came back home. Ishmael came back home, then later Sarah saw that Ishmael is an idol worshiper and he's Rovei Kashad, he does all kinds of things. It's not a good example for Yitzhak. So he said, kick him and kick him. So he had to kick him this time, but for good. But when exactly was the dates that he kicked him? No, the first time she had a miscarriage from the Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara. When a woman is pregnant, she shouldn't tell anyone she's pregnant for the first 3 months. Even not to her parents. Why? Not that the parents wish her bad. Sometimes they make between themselves comments. Wow, it was so quick. The Satan right away come and say, you see what's going on here? They didn't deserve it. Look at what they did. They didn't keep this, they didn't keep that. It's Mamidat Adin. Sometimes the parents, out of excitement, she has to tell her sister, who has to tell her husband, who has to tell his brother, who has to tell his son, who has to tell the neighbor. All of a sudden, everybody knows. They didn't have Facebook. They don't need to run. They just put on Facebook and that's it. The message is out there. Better not to say to anyone. After 3 months, you tell the parents. And then obviously everyone else would know. Chafetz Chaim wanted to pass a message to the whole town, so he invited two friends of his wife, two women. So when they came, he said, I have something to tell you, but I want you to be careful not to say it to anyone else. It was Friday. He wanted everyone to know before Shabbat. He didn't have Facebook. Today he puts Facebook, finish, everyone knows. But then he needed people to start running around and talk. So he said to them, please tell me that you're not going to say to anyone. Of course, Rabbi. Ah. So he told them, then they left. He said to his wife, that's okay. Now you can, now everyone knows. You can relax. Right? I only say to my brother. I only say to my wife. I only say to her. I only say to him. Eh? That's it. Chazakah, three people know from it. The whole world will know from it. So Sarah, Rivka is going with Eliezer. They go to pick up Hagar on the way that Abraham should marry her. After he came back, he went outside to a city nearby to pray Mincha, Yitzchak. And then he sees that camels are coming. Rivka saw Yitzchak and she was amazed by him. While she was still sitting on a camel, she bent down towards the land, towards Israel, and asked, who is this man? Eliezer said, this is Yitzchak. What did she do? She right away covered herself. What would a girl today would do? You see the difference? That's the difference. Today a woman thinks that by showing herself as a woman, this, she will get more attention from the men. Yes, but what kind of attention? You can get attention from animals also. Who wants attention from animals except those cuckoo women that got married to their dogs on YouTube? They are crazy people. But a normal woman, she wants attention from her elephant, from her horse, from her donkey, whatever. A normal person, he wants the right attention, not a negative attention. Right away, she become modest. Why? In the old days, men used to appreciate modesty. Today, there are men that appreciate modesty. They very even, they know, oh, if they see a modest girl, they only want her. They don't want, the other one maybe a lot prettier. Tacky for them. Ah, no, low style. Cheap, too cheap. Classy girl. Classy, modest, up to here, everything. Okay, real lady. I always wonder to myself, this Queen Elizabeth. 500 years she's a queen. Not one picture of her is not modest. Do you see how she dressed? Like a real rabbit sent from Flatbush. Huh? She actually a Jew hater, they say. In the time of the Nazi something. They found about her something. She never agreed to visit Israel. Huh? She heard the Lubavitch Rebbe also never came to Israel, so she wanted to be the rabbit son of the women. Why? They don't want to take side against the Arabs. They have relationship with all the Arab countries. If she would come as the queen of England to Israel, she's recognized Israel as a country. So they don't want to push their nose into conflicts. How many other countries she visited that have conflicts over there? You cannot count how many. Well, when it comes to Israel, it's a different story. So mamash, before we finish the introduction, this watch used to be nice. It used to be 8:45 for 2 hours. Now it's moving quick. Ah, yeah. So we still a few minutes. So right away she covered herself. Eliezer tell Yitzchak all the miracles that Hashem did to him. As soon as she walked into the tent of Sarah, the three miracles came back. Which three miracles? Only the women know what? Not one man knows? Because it's challah and candles, you don't know? The cloud came back. Abraham married again. Who? Agar, Hashem Yirachem. But this time the Torah called her Ketura. Pituma Ketoret, Ketura. Why? Why they call it Ketura? Huh? Because she refused to marry another man after Abraham kicked her out. Then they have more kids. Abraham gave Yitzchak all his wealth and the cave of Machpelah and the power to bless the generations to come. And the children that he has from Hagar, he gave them names. What names? Name, holy names, that they will be able to do magics. To control the demons. And they send them to the Far East. China, India, Nepal, to all these places where people do hocus pocus, Ichigidana, Ichigidana, you know, in India. One guy is playing the flute and the snake is dizzy, you know. One Kurdish guy went to Japan on a trip. So he came to the lobby of the hotel, he see Japanese people. Then he saw a big aquarium with fish inside. So you see one Japanese guy is standing by the fish. He goes like this. The fish is also moving. He goes like this, the fish is moving to the left. So the Kurdish guy comes and says, what are you doing? So he said, the fish has such a small brain. 1 minute, you hypnotize him, everything you do, he repeats. So the Kurdish said, can I try? He said, it's good, because I have to go to the bathroom, I'll be right back. The Japanese went to the bathroom, he came back after a minute, he see the Kurdish guys by the aquarium going like this.
the fish hypnotized him. Anyway, so Abraham sent them to the Far East. They actually called in the Far East, China, all these countries, that called themselves the Abrahams. The Abrahams. Right? Children of Abraham. Some say that Abraham also gave them all the gift that he received from Pharaoh and Avimelech because he did not want to enjoy from those gifts anyway. They gave him the gift for Sarah, beauty, and this. It wasn't pure. He didn't want it, so he gave it to them. Abraham continued to live, and he saw the children of Yitzchak. The Torah is beginning to explain the end of Abraham in this world, concluding his life 175 years, and died peacefully. And he saw his father, Terach, making tshuva. Terach, he used to own a store, nobody beats the whiz. Remember that store? They sell televisions, everything, Machtiyeh Arabim. Terach, instead of selling television, used to sell idols to people. But the end of Abraham's life, Terach made tshuva. Terach made tshuva. Who Terach came back to be in his next life? Yov. Very good. Yov. Surprising me. Baruch Hashem. How much Yov suffered? Non-stop. Horrible tragedies. One after the other. We have one little problem, we are destroyed. Destroyed mentally. Terach came back to be Yov. Sufferings, children dying, diseases. Problem. Why Terach has to come back to the world and to suffer so much? The Gemara say, Machti Arabim in Maspikim Beyado Lasot Tshuva. Machti Arabim, someone that influenced the public to make sins. DJ in mixed parties. Drug dealer, someone who make vacations on Shabbat on a boat, all kinds of parties on a boat. Someone who convince people to do gambling, invites them to his house to gamble. Someone who sell non-kosher food to people. All these people are machti'ei Arabim. But which machti Arabim is the worst? The worst. The one that teach the way against Hashem. You believe there's Hashem? You believe in Olam Haba? You believe one day Mashiach would come? Don't be stupid. Apikors, minim, v'apikorsim. Do you really believe the Gemara is also from Har Sinai? Don't you see the rabbis made it up? Don't you see there's mistakes? Mistakes in their head. Something went wrong in their head. These kind of people are the worst. Terach was selling idols to people, meaning he's rebelling against the real God. Once he made tshuva, here you see, he made tshuva. What does it mean? El maspikim biyado lasot tshuva. We found in this generation many people when they used to be secular, they professor, they used to teach kfira against Hashem, and one day they became religious. So what does it mean that someone that is used to influence the public to go against Hashem has no chance to do tshuva? We saw it thousands of times, movie stars, singers, all kinds of people that were big machti Arabim and they did tshuva. So what does it mean? En maspikim biyado lasot tshuva. Reality, it's possible. The answer is, of course it's possible. You can become religious. If you really want, you can. But once you become religious, you do X amount of mitzvot now. It will never be enough to turn the scale to the positive side.
because you influence so many thousands of people to make sins, they continue to do sins. Every day, 5,000 people are not Shomer Shabbat because of you. Because of the stupid internet page that you made to make people go off the derech. So right away, this Shabbat, it counts for you 5,000 times you are Mechalel Shabbat. Not one Shabbat. It goes to your account 5,000 Shabbats that you were violating. Each Shabbat, for you, it's 5,000 Shabbatot that you broke. And if the group will grow to 10,000 people, you're going to get judged for 10,000 Chilulei Shabbat. And if it's going to grow to 100,000, you're going to be judged for the whole 100,000. So what's the problem? The problem is that if one day you become tzaddik, how, when you keep one Shabbat, and at the same Shabbat, 1,000 other Jews breaking Shabbat because of your teaching, how are you ever going to go to a positive balance? So the answer is suffering. Lots of suffering. Torture. Hell. Hell. Do you know what hell? Did they release Jonathan Pollard or not yet? They
17
say
days.
They say November 1st.
No, 17 days.
Torture like Pollard. 30 years in an isolated room with so many anti-Semite Nazis around him for a violation that he should have been in jail 3-4 years maximum if he wasn't a Jew. To 30 years to destroy the person's life, you know what it means, 30 years to be there? Or a different kind of suffering. Ma, cancer, it's any better? Chemo, cancer, problem, needles, Hashem Erachem. There's so many sufferings in the world. Constant depression. Why it's coming? Previous sins. And that's my conclusion of tonight. The conclusion of tonight is, don't worry, it's 10:30, not 11:30. They didn't change the clock yet. Used to be quarter to nine forever, now he jumped an hour ahead to scare us. So, the women are in the most dangerous situation when it comes to be machti Arabim. Why? Because average man is not machti Arabim. For every 100 men, how many of them running against people to make them secular? It's not that many. How many men is a DJ in parties to make everyone comes and dance and make scenes? Not that many. But almost every woman is machtiyat Arabim. Almost every woman, why? Dressed, attached, short, clear, all kinds of not modest things, heels like the Twin Towers. How long she's going to suffer? Getting out of her car in the snow with the two heels, like two pencils, like this. She tried to get up. What's happening? I got stuck. Why? It's like handcuffs. How much is going to suffer that maybe amigo Jose and Tony, they would look at her and say, pshh. For that, I don't want to even continue the sentence. For 2 minutes of stupidity, machtia millions of people on the street. And if she's a movie star, 5 million people saw her. And if, you know, there's no end to it. That's why with modesty, you don't want to play. It's worse than fire. You don't want to mess with that. Always classy. Always modest. Winter, it's easy. Just put your coat around and that's it. It's a sack. No problem. Just get rid of the heels and everything is fine. Summertime. Pikuach nefesh. If it was possible, we should lock ourselves 6 months inside a box until the summer will be over. And the women always give this stupid excuse. Is this my fault that the man cannot control his desires and his eyes? The answer, yes, it's 1,000,000% your fault. Yes, no politically correct here. 1,000,000% your fault. If you watch the way you dress, even a crazy man will not look around. He doesn't want to look at a tent moving on the street. That's the truth. I told you one time, I said to a guy one time, I said to him, I don't understand how what a normal man would let his wife go to the beach wearing bathing suit. Mother of his children, that all the people on the street. Mase, how do you not kill yourself from the 1 minute that it happened?
Oh, everyone is doing it. It's normal.
So I said to him, if you have a birthday party and your wife invited 300 people and they're all sitting in your living room and she come out of the kitchen with the cake and the candle with a bathing suit in front of all your friends, in your living room, what would happen? What? I throw her out of the window. I say to her, I don't get it. Over here, you kill her. Over there, downstairs, it's no problem. What's the difference? You know, I never thought of it. That's the problem in our life. 99% of the things that Hashem said to be careful, we never think about it. That's it. We grew up like this. We don't think about it. We don't think about it. I said to a guy, do you know what it means to be mechalel Shabbat? What do you think, it's a joke? If I give you $1 million, will you kill a baby for $1 million? He said, no, of course not. Said, to be mechalel Shabbat is a bigger crime in the eyes of Hashem. And you do it for free 500 times every week. Ma, are you crazy? You comparing me to someone who killed babies? I said, I'm comparing you? I wrote the Torah? Hashem compares you. But wait! Hashem compares you, and who won? Who is a bigger criminal? You! Not the murderer. You are a bigger criminal than him. He said to me, cannot be. I said, if I show you halakha now, you're going to faint. He said, what do you mean? I said, if they have in a cemetery, a section all full of murderers. Murderer 1, murderer 2, murderer 3, murderer 4, serial killers, all over there. And by mistake, they buried over there Mechalel Shabbat, the Prime Minister of Israel. Doctorate, degree over here, degree over there. Lots of intelligence, polite, eating with a fork and knife. Not a monster, just breaking Shabbat. In with all the animals, the serial killers, the monster, the sadists. Inside with them, the Mechalel Shabbat, the nicest woman in the block. Cooking for the poor, nice, doing all kinds of things for the community. But drive the car with her iced tea from the bagel store on Shabbat. That's it. If they bury the Mechalel Shabbat among the murderers, the law, not me, the law of the Torah, you must take the Mechalel Shabbat out and move him to a different section because it's an embarrassment for the murderers that you bury him with them. That's the halakha. Now you tell me if somebody can argue what's worse. En kovrim rasha gadol im rasha katan. You don't bury a big wicked with a mediocre wicked. It's an insult for the mediocre wicked that you bury a much bigger wicked with him. And you don't bury a wicked with a righteous. If you bury Mechalel Shabbat among Shomrei Shabbat, also you must take him out. People don't know the law. If they only knew what it means to be Mechalel Shabbat, do you think there will be one Chiloni Mechalel Shabbat today? Maybe there will be few. People don't know. They don't have an idea what they're doing. Get in a car, happy, business as usual. Then when they die, the nightmare begins. How much we're afraid of punishments in this world? If a person has pain, anywhere in the body, in the head, I hope it's not tumor. Over here, I hope it's not cancer. Stomach, wow, I hope it's not this. Everything panicking. Right away, MRI. Checking, specialist, 2 weeks he doesn't sleep, she doesn't sleep. She found something as a growth and a chest right away, x-ray. No, I'm worried, it doesn't look good. go over there, wow, so much fear. לחלל שבת, billion times worse, no fear. No fear. Rebelling against Hashem with azut metzach, with such chutzpah. And not only that, they have good sources, don't worry. The rabbi told him, come to the shul with the car, don't worry. Hashem will understand, as long as you bring the check with you. But don't bring it on Shabbat. Keep the check in a book, give it to me Motzei Shabbat. You know, one thing like this happened in Israel one time. One guy came into the shul on Shabbat morning. Shabbat morning, he said, I have to say Birkat HaGomel. I almost died in an accident, and I have to say Birkat HaGomel. So they come, they tell him, okay, come, say Birkat HaGomel. So in the middle, and after his Torah is open, he takes out his checkbook, he writes a check for the shul. What is the name of the shul? Israeli. He doesn't know, he's not allowed to write on Shabbat. Look how ignorant the people are in a Jewish state. He writes a check to the synagogue, and he gives it to the gabbai in front of everyone in Shabbat, and everyone in the shul like this. The rabbi is thinking, what should I do? If I don't take, I take. Embarrassing, chilul Hashem. Should I insult him now? Big dilemma. I always say the biggest enemy of the human being is ignorance. We're paying the price of our ignorance. You don't know the rules, you pay the price. Not knowing the rules does not dismiss you from the punishment. Not knowing the rule does not dismiss you from the punishment. The last verse of the parasha, Ishmael died in age 137. Ishmael himself made tshuva. How do we know? You see what's beautiful about our religion? It's fair, honest, and objective. Ishmael is the father of the murderers that torture us for thousands of years, all these Arabs. Would you see one beautiful comment about the Jews in the Quran? That the Jews are the best? Yeah, there are some verses in the Quran that God gave Eretz Israel to the Jews. But right next to it, it says, one day we'll find a Jew behind a tree, behind a rock, the rock will scream, there's a Jew here, and we go and butcher him. So, the point is, the Torah says, Ishmael made tshuva. Why? That's what happened. We're not here to cover. It would be better off not to write that Ishmael made tshuva. Look, your father's, he was a monster, and he died a monster. No, that's not what happened. But it's not good, it's not for politics, it's not good. The Arabs, they don't care, they lie non-stop. There was no Bet HaMikdash. The Jews made it up. What do you have thousands of history books about Bet HaMikdash? No, no. What do? They dig underground to destroy all the discoveries of Bet HaMikdash. They can fool Hashem. But the Jews is not like that. The Jews say exactly what the Torah says, not what we want the Torah to say. What the Torah really says. And here it says, how do we know Ishmael made tshuva? Because it says, Vayigva. Vayigva. What is Vayigva? It didn't say he died. It says Vayigva. It's a language of a death of the tzaddikim. And since Ishmael all his life was a murderer, Pere Adam, a wild beast, and everything else you want, the Torah will not say Igva. It says Vayamot, met. But it says Vayigva. From here we learn that he did tshuva before he died. And in Parashat Lech Lecha it says on the children of Ishmael, Al pene kol echa vishkon. Ishmael, also like the Jews, would live all over the world. Do you know one country that doesn't have Arabs? Do you know one country that doesn't have Jews? Everywhere you have Jews. Qatar, you have Jews. Saudi Arabia, you have Jews. I was wondering to myself, probably there's no Jews in Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Qatar, all this country. Jews don't go there. Until I got an email from Saudi Arabia, American Jews listening to my lectures in Saudi Arabia under the helmet. With headphones. They don't want the Arabs to hear. American Jewish soldiers in Saudi Arabia. They're there in the base. So they say now there are 27 all together, Jews and non-Jews, listening to the lectures, mamash, in the center of the oil in the world, right by the sheikhs over there, all these billionaires, and listening to the lectures that we speak here. Which lectures they're listening to? The lectures that we record here, it goes over there. The wonder of the internet. So it says, Ishmael al kol echav ishkon, al pnei kol echav ishkon, meaning, all over the world he would live. But in a future to come, he will collapse. It will be a happy end. What's the happy end? All those that torture us and stole our land and killed us daily and made up all the lies, they will all pay the price in the end. In the end, Hashem judge everyone according to what they deserve. Bezrat Hashem, we'll see you next Tuesday, 8 o'clock, 8:10. Bezrat Hashem, Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen v'amen.